Dallas Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
I first met Dr. Baker here on campus as a student and found out that I knew her former pastor from Borger, Texas, George Rutenbar, who used to be on staff here. Really, he was the advancement guy and worked under Dr. Walvoord for many years, and he's in the waning years of his life down in Waxahachie. I saw him recently, but brought back great memories of that church out in Borger, Texas, where you lived. Dr. Baker earned her master's in Christian Ed and a doctor of ministry from our seminary, with an emphasis in women's ministry as adjunct professor and women's advisor in the Christian Education Department. She advises, mentors women students, teaches Christian education courses, serves on the staff of DTS Spiritual Formation Small Group Program, teaches the DMN Women's Ministry Cohort. And she's traveled in Russia 14 times, training Russian women in ministry to women, as well as spoken in various women's conferences and retreats. And she attends Northwest Bible Church and leads a small group in the Northwest Bible Church Women's Ministry. Joy's been a widow for 23 years and has a daughter and two sons and one daughter-in-law. And she enjoys being Mimi to her grandson, Trevin, is that correct? Who's 20 months old and lives too far away in Colorado. Let's welcome Joy Baker. Come on.
Good morning. I hope all of you are having a good start to your summer and that you're enjoying the class that you're in this week. As you think back to the song that we just sang, I wonder how easy it is for you to hear the soft and tender voice of Jesus calling to you. Sometime in your life, hopefully everyone here in this room, Jesus called you into relationship with him. When he did, it might have been a soft voice or a loud voice, depending on your circumstances. But you recognize that your sin was separating you from God, and you accepted Jesus into your life as your Savior and entered into an internal relationship with God forever. Well, Jesus continues to keep talking to us as his children. And one of the places that we're reminded of this is a very familiar verse in Revelation 3:20, where he says, "Behold," or in the NIV it says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Often, and really incorrectly, this verse is used to invite people into a relationship with Christ. But this is a letter to the Laodicean church where Jesus' words are here. And he is speaking to them and describing them as lukewarm Christians. He is telling them that they have allowed the riches of the world to become more important to them than he is. Now, it's interesting as I read this, it reminds me in sort of an unusual way of the air conditioning system in my home. Now, I've lived in my townhouse for about 10 years. I've had this air conditioning system the whole time, and it's been very inefficient and extremely loud. The inside unit is in this little closet right next to my bedroom. And all day long it's running to keep up with the temperatures outside. And at night it comes off and on and would wake me up all the time. Well, finally, about a year or so ago in the spring, the motor finally went out of it. And so I had to decide to part with some money and buy myself a new air conditioning unit. So when I did, I decided, okay, I want to buy one that's more efficient, that is quality, and hopefully is going to be quieter. So they installed it, and sure enough, by the next month when I got my electricity bill, it was over half as much as I've been paying all those years. But what was even more surprising to me was that I could not hear it. I mean, I knew it was running because I put my hand up to the vent and there was this cool air coming out and my house was staying real cool and comfortable. But I was amazed that a company could make an air conditioning unit that I could not even hear. Well, a couple months later, going into the summer, I had another difficult decision that I had been wrestling with for a number of years. And it had to do with the fact that I knew that I was beginning to have some hearing loss. Now, I knew it particularly because I had people that knew me and particularly that were close to me that were beginning to become very irritated and very frustrated with me because they kept asking, that I kept asking them to repeat the things they were saying. Well, I was refusing to get these hearing aids for a number of years till finally I decided I need to embrace the fact that the aging process was happening, which I do not like, and buy some hearing aids. Well, as soon as I did, I found I could turn the knob down on my radio, on my television, and the first day I went home into my house, I could hear my air conditioner. Now, it wasn't loud at all, but it was still just like this quiet breeze coming out of it. And it occurred to me that my hearing aids had enabled me to be able to hear the quiet, soft sounds and voices that were around me. Well, I want to suggest to you that just like sometimes we need physical hearing aids if we have a problem, even more, every one of us needs to put on spiritual hearing aids so that we can hear the quiet voice of God speaking to us. If we don't put on these spiritual hearing aids, we very likely are not going to be able to hear God, just like I was unable to hear the air conditioner. Now, I would like to have us think about the possibility that the reason why we can't hear God's voice sometimes is because we may be lukewarm Christians. Just like Jesus is talking to the Laodicean church, he accused them of being neither cold or hot, but lukewarm. They were rich in the things of the world, but they were unwilling to look at their need for God. The noises in the world were so loud to them that they could not hear God speaking to them. Or if they could hear his voice, they were refusing to respond to him, much like I was refusing to buy those hearing aids for a while. So what do we need to do? Those of us that are Christians, Christians who are attending Dallas Seminary, Christians that are teaching at Dallas Seminary or working at Dallas Seminary, what do we need to do to be able to hear that quiet voice of God speaking to us? What kind of spiritual hearing aids do we need to put on? Well, Jesus answers that question for us, at least in part, as we go back and look here in this letter to Laodicea, in the verse right before the one I read, Jesus says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent." When he says these words, he's confirming and affirming his love for these Christian people. But he's also rebuking them. He's telling them that they have divided hearts. They profess a faith, but they are not living for Christ. They are living for themselves and depending on themselves and on the things of the world. And if you read earlier in this letter, he says, because they're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, he wants to spit them out of his mouth. I mean, when we get something in our mouth that's very distasteful, I mean, first thing we want to do is just spit it out. This is the analogy that he gives and how he feels towards lukewarm Christians. Now, it's important that we recognize that Jesus is not talking about relationship here. The Christians in the Laodicean church were not going to lose their salvation because they were lukewarm. What they were losing was an intimate relationship with Christ. He wanted to come into their lives and fellowship with them, and he wanted to take over their lives, and he wanted them to live for him rather than for things in the world. So in Revelation 3:19, he gives two suggested ways that we can put on spiritual hearing aids so that we can hear his voice. And he says to be earnest and he says to repent. Now, earnest means to be zealous, to have zeal, to be passionate, committed. He wants his children, those that believe in him, to be passionately committed to him, to live for him, to depend on him, and not the things in the world. He says that he would rather they were cold than to be lukewarm. And cold could even indicate people that were unbelievers. And Jesus expects unbelieving people to live a worldly life. But he desires that his children be hot towards him, to be on fire for him, and to be committed to him. Jesus wants his children to live out the first of the two great commandments and love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and strength and mind, all of our being, to be committed to him. Not just when we're in church on Sunday morning and we're worshiping and praising God. Not even just when we're at home reading the word and in focused prayer with him. But he wants us to be committed to him as we turn on our televisions, as we choose the movies that we watch, as we sit in front of our computer and turn on that internet, as we interact with non-believing friends, as we're in our marriages, with our children, at work, in our ministries. Because lukewarm Christians have divided hearts. Their devotion is not to God, but it's into the things of the world, and he desires that they be fully devoted to him. They're sitting on the fence, so to speak, one foot in the faith, one foot in the world. And when that happens, they can't hear him when he speaks, maybe because they're too busy, or maybe if they hear his voice, they are ignoring his voice because they prefer the voices and noises of the world. So our first spiritual hearing aid is to be earnest for him, to be passionately committed to him in every area of our lives. But then second, Jesus says, to repent. And repentance has the idea of changing your mind about something. It means that you're going in one direction and you decide to go in a different and a better direction. And involved in repentance is the whole area of confession. And confession is just agreeing with God, agreeing that there's something in your life that's inconsistent with his word. And you confess that, you're convicted of that. And as you do, the word says that God forgives us. So confession has the idea of being sorry and of apologizing for that which is in your life that is displeasing, distasteful to God. But apologies are empty if they're not coupled with repentance. Because it's not enough just to say you're sorry about something you're doing, but God wants you to not only say you're sorry, but want to stop doing it and start doing what is right instead. So lukewarm Christians need to acknowledge that they have allowed the things of the world to replace God. They've allowed earthly things to be more important to them than heavenly things. And because of that, they're having a hard time hearing God's voice, or they're ignoring his voice because they would rather do what they want to do rather than what God wants them to do. Well, let me ask you, as you're all sitting here and thinking about this, is this at all true of you? Do you have a divided heart? Would you say that you're lukewarm? Interesting question for a group of seminary students. But too often it can happen in our lives. As we think about that and pray about that, let's remember to put on those spiritual hearing aids, to be earnestly committed to Christ in every area of your life, passionately desiring to live for him, and being repentant, having a repentant attitude of sensitivity to the Spirit's work in your life, of areas that might be inconsistent with what God would have for you, so that, first of all, you can have that sweet fellowship with him as he's knocking on the door of your life and wanting to come in, that you can enjoy that intimate relationship with him. And as you do, the Spirit of God can not only work in you, but through you, to use you to impact the world for Jesus Christ. So put on your spiritual hearing aids, and you will hear that quiet voice of God calling to you, guiding you, and wanting to glorify himself through you. Pray with me. Our dear Father God, we thank you for this message. We thank you that you are pursuing us all the time. And Jesus, you are constantly knocking on the door of our life, wanting to come into all the areas of our life. Forgive us of the times that we ignore you. Forgive us for the times that we refuse you. Forgive us for the times that we are so busy and distracted that we don't even hear you. And we thank you that you are a forgiving God. We thank you that in a moment's time, you restore us into fellowship with you as we open that door to our heart and allow you to come in and to fill us and to work in our lives and to use us. And we so desire to bring glory and honor to you. We don't want to be lukewarm. We want to help other people who are lukewarm to move from that place, to be on fire for you, to be committed to you. And Father, we thank you that you have called us into a relationship with you, and you keep calling us into a deeper and deeper relationship with you. And we are grateful for your love and your goodness in our lives, and we just commit ourselves to you. And it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.